May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, now that George, Gary, and Charlie have retired, they enjoy meeting once a week for a round of golf. They're all healthy except for having poor hearing. One day during a round of golf, George says, "Windy, isn't it?" "No," replies Gary, "it's Thursday." And Charlie says, "So am I. Let's have a beer." So, how much confidence and self-esteem do you have? And what is your attitude towards unworthiness? Do you read books such as I'm Okay, You're Okay? Or do you buy certain products like L'Oreal shampoo because, as the ad says, you're worth it? Then again, do we ever feel unworthy, as in having no value or being undeserving of respect? Perhaps we have felt shamed by how we look, by a secret addiction, or by how little we know. Well, the truth is, it doesn't matter how we look, and it's not what we know or what we do that determines our worthiness. We are all valuable because of who we are, not because of our abilities or disabilities. But if you do feel yourself to be unworthy, don't worry, because you're in good company. There are several characters in the Bible who claim to be unworthy, and many of them held positions of power and prestige. People like the centurion who said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof," or the prophet John the Baptist who said of Jesus, "I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." In our readings this morning, we find three people expressing their unworthiness: the prophet Isaiah and the apostle Paul and Peter. These are three of the greatest witnesses in the Bible, and yet they did not feel worthy. Next to their fellow man, they were eminently worthy, but next to God, no one can measure up. Next to God, we are all unworthy. And it was in response to having a direct encounter with God that they all repent and acknowledge their unworthiness. The first reading takes place in the year 742 BC. Assyria is expanding its borders, and the northern kingdom of Israel is trying to coerce the southern kingdom of Judah into a military alliance against the Assyrian threat. During this time, Isaiah has a vision of God seated on a throne in the temple, surrounded by courtiers, with seraphs, which are griffin-like creatures, hovering above him, guarding him. The word holy is repeated three times for emphasis, just as we shall soon say in the Eucharistic prayer, "Holy, holy, holy," known as the Sanctus. And this identifies God as all holy, sinless, and apart from earthly things. God is the Lord of hosts, the warrior for Israel, and he rules over the whole earth. In this passage that we heard, the prophet Isaiah is commissioned. He is given the authority of a prophet. But in the presence of God, he feels totally inadequate. "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And in response, an angel swoops down with a burning coal to cleanse his lips, to render him able to speak of God. Then we have St. Paul, who says that Christ appeared to him last of all. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul had been a murderer of the earliest Christians, and he knew his unworthiness. But did the grace of God discard him? No. God appointed him an apostle of the Gentiles. Paul's unworthiness did not disqualify him from serving God. So I guess we can't use unworthiness as an excuse to not serve. That was something I said quite often to God when I was preparing for the selection conference and putting myself forward for ordination. But God didn't buy it. God's reply was always something like, "No one person can do all that I'm asking of you. And that is why I am sending you to a community of believers. And together, by sharing your gifts, you can all do my will." And for all of you who will be elected at the upcoming vestry for the various jobs that need doing in our church, of course you are unworthy. We all are. But that doesn't stop God from calling us, because he knows he will provide all that we need, and that together we will succeed. Then we have the famous gospel story. Jesus tells Peter, James, and John to fish in the deep water, where they've been fishing all night with no result. And without warning, their nets are filled to overflowing with fish. And Peter cries out, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Astonishment had seized him and all those with him. Peter responds to the miracle with personal self-judgment. "I am sinful. I am unworthy," because he recognizes a more than human power in Jesus. At first, Peter calls Jesus master, equivalent to teacher, and he obeys Jesus' command to push out the boat. He did this out of obedience and duty. But after the miracle of the full nets, Peter calls Jesus Lord, showing his belief in Jesus' divine nature. Peter, James, and John may have caught fish, but in a sense, they themselves were caught by Jesus. And there's a Greek verb that was used, zogron, meaning catching. And it was commonly used of teachers who caught their students and disciples and thereby brought them new life. Peter is plunged into a new level of self-awareness, of unworthiness, and along with James and John, nevertheless makes a total commitment to Jesus. They left everything, their livelihood, their families, all that they had known, to follow Jesus. It was a huge risk. We may assume that the experience of God will lead us to peace and forgiveness and joy. But instead, Isaiah, Paul, and Peter experience unworthiness and great challenges. Their reaction is not really shame, but rather humility. They are finding their place in reality and seeing themselves as they really are, and they're expressing a kind of humility. As Isaiah said, "I am a man of unclean lips." And Paul said, "I am the least of the apostles." And Peter said, "I am a sinful man." Each of these men had been forced to compare himself directly with the presence of God. When they met the holiness of God head on, they were able to see their own less than perfect humanness. Their experience of God let them understand that they are far less than God. But this is a good thing. We need to be honest about our less than perfect selves before God can make us holy. When we let down our guard and allow ourselves to be vulnerable, God does not say in return, "I reject you," but rather, I love you dearly, just as you are. Come be with me, you fine human being. And so I take this opportunity to thank all of you who have accepted the call to serve in God's church and in our community. We may be unworthy, but God will indeed help us in the tasks that lie ahead. And for this, we give our thanks and praise through Christ our Lord.